This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
All right, good morning. Thanks for joining us in this Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. So yesterday we were talking about Major League Baseball and the fight between the union and the owners. And I said this yesterday, and again, it held true yesterday as well, that the owners are keep making proposals to the union that says, all right, how about this many games? But in all of it is all of the finances have to do with taking a pay cut based on your prorated salary. And the players keep pointing out to the owners, we want 100%, right? Go back and forth. How about 75? Nah, how about 100? How about 80? How about 100? And again, the union came back with a counter proposal. Now, the owner's proposal was immediately shot down. We knew that was coming because there were certain clauses in the deal that the players weren't going to agree to, including a no-at-your-own-risk type of clause that gets the owners off of the liability if they should contract coronavirus at any point while playing. And the union was not going to do that. So the players came back and they said, how about 89 games? Well, these numbers are so... It's so funny. These numbers are so, like, it's not 75 now. It's not 100. It's like 114, 89, 62. It still comes down to 100% of the prorated salary. Now, for the association, the union, they are trying to come up with a number where they say, all right, we still want to get 100% of our pay, but we're working on the amount of games so that it's not as much as our other proposals. But I just don't think the owners are going to want a deal that comes back to at any sort of level unless there's a pay reduction. And the pay reduction has to come because they keep claiming how much money they're going to be losing. So again, we're still in a standoff. We are still nowhere. But yet again, here's another proposal just to show the public that they're willing to do something. But coming up next, there's a unique anniversary today for college football fans, especially in Southern California, as Reggie Bush can now begin the process of reassociating himself with the USC Trojans. But with what's new on the horizon for college football, he's had some interesting things to say. We'll talk about that next. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, please. All right, so today is the anniversary. It's not really an anniversary. I shouldn't really use that phrase. But today is the day because it's been 10 years since the USC Trojans had to, quote unquote, disassociate themselves with Reggie Bush, the former Heisman Trophy winning running back. Now, if you remember his story at USC, his family received a number of benefits while he was playing football for the Trojans. You know, winning national championships and making a big name for himself and winning a Heisman Trophy. Like, family got a house, they got to live rent-free. He received a number of benefits, you know, unlike other players who have gone down this road before. So USC lost like 30 scholarships. They had to forfeit wins, including a title, and they had to disassociate themselves with Reggie Bush. He could not be part of the program in any way for 10 years. That 10-year anniversary is up today. So now the two sides can come together, and Reggie Bush can now be a part of the USC legacy. Now, first of all, let me say this. I think this is stupid. I think this rule is dumb. The NCAA has done this forever, where the big penalty is trying to make you forget or put away from the history books the accomplishments of great athletes and great teams. They vacate wins. They say, oh, this is, you didn't see this. You know, don't look behind the curtain. You didn't see that. The team, you know, that player never happened. And it's just dumb because we already knew, you know, we already saw that player. We know what that player did. We know what his accomplishments are. And nevertheless, the NCAA tries to make a penalty in which that person has to be wiped from the history books. That person has to be wiped clean. And then you come back and now everybody can cheer and remember the good old days when good old number five was running the ball for the Trojans and they were the top team in college football. I'm like you guys. I remember Reggie Bush. I'll never forget Reggie Bush. One of my favorite players back in the time. I enjoyed watching the USC. I wasn't a fan of theirs, but I enjoyed watching them, win and play very well. Matt Leinart at quarterback, etc. Reggie Bush also forfeited his Heisman, which is something I give him a lot of credit because I wouldn't have done it. I would have said, you want this? You come get it. I'm not giving this up. You know what? I don't care what you got me on. I don't care what you're accusing me on. I don't care what evidence you got. You're not getting this Heisman Trophy. This is mine. I'm keeping it. But he forfeited it. So now he can associate himself with the school and the school can associate with him. And again, this is ridiculous, but we are coming into this new age of college football. So now you can have players capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. So now players can get these kind of benefit levels. All right. So it's like any other rule that we used to have in place where we put the hammer down on people and then we sort of went, yeah, we're going to relax this a little bit. We've seen it with marijuana. We see it with gambling where we see the sort of, there's this scorn and then people sort of go, yeah, maybe we're a little too hard on that. And maybe we shouldn't be penalizing people for that, or maybe we shouldn't be arresting people for that and putting up charges for that. So let's just tax it and make some money. So Reggie Bush had to spend 10 years, a decade away from any sort of celebration of his accomplishments while with the program. He couldn't appear on some sort of remembrance day where they're honoring the team or anything like that. He couldn't be part of the school at all for a decade, which when you're a college athlete, especially a major college athlete, that is really, really hard. I mean, that is hard. No matter what you're doing in the NFL or the NBA or wherever, if you can't associate with your school, if you can't be a part of that program, helping in recruiting or just being on the sidelines for just as a guest. He has been able to do some work in media now that his NFL career is over, but he hasn't been able to be part of some of the great USC Trojans for 10 years. Now that there is this rule that's going to be in place that allows players to sort of make money off their likeness, Bush has a warning. And I think it's an important warning, and it's something, to be honest with you, I haven't really heard anybody else say. Now, Bush was talking about his time in the NFL, where he said he hired a good team, a good financial team, but in the end, when you're making that much money and you're young, there are so many people trying to pull you in a variety of directions. There's a lot of guys out there that want a piece of what you're making. The phone never stops ringing. And he is saying, look, and he made this in an interview that he had. He said, look, if you don't have proper guidance as a young student athlete, now that you're going to be making some good money, even if there is some regulations, you're going to be pulled in a number of different directions. And if you're 18 or 19 years old, you better have something in place that helps you not only with the fame, right, with the extra level of fame that you're going to get, but also how do you manage your money when everybody is coming for a piece of it? And that's, I mean, you think about that. That is something that hasn't been put out in this process. You know, we talk about the quarterback getting to this school and all of a sudden now he can be in this billboard. He can work with this car dealership. He can now be a part of this advertising. He can make money off of this. He can make money off of that. But you're also asking that student athlete to not only manage that money, but he also has to fend off the sharks because the sharks are going to come. Right? Everyone's going to have a cousin. Everyone's going to have a relative that's going to need a house or, you know, whatever. And they're going to want a piece. Now, again, we talk about the NCAA putting like financial restrictions on how much, you know, a person can be paid. But we all know that, you know, like anything else, there's going to be some under the table kind of stuff that's going to be going on. There's going to be some under the radar stuff going on. And here's the other thing. The sharks don't care. The sharks will come after you anyway because they think there's going to be more there. All they need to know is that somebody they know is now in the process of going to a major university to be a major college football player or a basketball player, whatever, and is all of a sudden going to be getting all of these opportunities to make some serious money. And hey, what do they need the money for right now? Right? They've got the, you know, the athletic dorm, they get food. What do they need? I need $15,000 or whatever. And I think Bush has a very good point because from his own experience, he said, look, even when I had good people around me, I still had to deal with this. I had to deal with this as a professional athlete. And now there's collegiate, you know, athletes that are going to experience the same kind of thing. I don't think anybody's made this argument before on a higher level than Reggie Bush. And I think it's pretty profound. And it'll be interesting to see where this plays out. And this will be something that will come years down the road. And you might see it on like a, you know, real sports HBO kind of segment or something like that, where the first wave of college athletes that have been allowed to be in the system to make money. And you'll see sort of like, what was it like? Like they're in their 30s. And I was like, all right, so you're 18 and you get to this campus and you're this 5-star recruit. And all of a sudden now you're making this money and that money and this money. And let them tell their story about how, all right, all of a sudden I realized that I had more family members than I knew, or I had more friends than I thought. And all of a sudden everyone was coming out of the woodwork to try to get a piece of me. You know, it's very similar to when people who win the lottery. I mean, what do they tell you if you win the lottery? What's good advice? Don't tell anybody. Like, just sort of chill out for a while. Eventually, it'll get out, but don't tell everybody immediately because you'll be inundated with, oh, thanks. It's great that you won the lottery. By the way, can I tell you my story real quick? And that's what's going to happen to a lot of these guys. But I am glad, and back to the overall, I'm glad that USC and Reggie Bush can come together. I think Reggie Bush was one of the most exciting players of his time, and I hope that he can get his Heisman Trophy back. I don't know if that is going to happen, but at least he can mend, you know, those two sides can come together, and now he can associate with the school. But as the NCAA does time and time again, when they tell you that the Fab Five didn't really do anything, you know, we had to pull down the banners for Michigan, or this school has got to forfeit these victories, or this school gets the de facto NCAA championship because they had a player that got an illegal benefit. Whenever they try to do that history book thing, it's sort of a waste of everybody's time. And this disassociation clause, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I understand from the school standpoint that you don't want to be celebrating an athlete that caused any, you know, problems for the school in terms of loss of scholarship, loss of victories, and all of that. But at the same time, there is a family level of atmosphere that goes on with big time programs. And to tell a player he can't be a part of that for a decade, 10 years. Again, that's a long time. Think about where you were in June of 2010. Think about where you are now. Think about everything that has happened over those 10 years. It's a long, long time. And for Reggie Bush to not be a part of anything that has gone on with USC as a member of the USC family. I mean, again, he worked for, I think, Fox and was doing some, he was on the sideline for a game in a media capacity. But I mean, just wearing that special credential, you know, just being around all the greats, everyone that has gone through the USC program, and he could not be a part of any of that for 10 years because his family got to live rent free in a San Diego house. You know, we're going to look back on some of this stuff. And again, it's just like we do with gambling and marijuana. When the laws change and the attitude changes and the society changes on those sort of quote unquote vices, it's going to be the same way we're going to look at college athletics. We're going to be like, wow, everybody just lost their minds because a student athlete's family got a rent free home, or everybody lost their minds because somebody got a car. You know, everyone lost their minds because $10,000 was given to us. I mean, just, we're going to look back and say, man, how did we get all worked up over that? Especially where we're going. All right, coming up next, we will get back to the latest baseball proposal and what is on the table. There is one thing that the players are going to, have put in their proposal yesterday to the owners. It could be a little interesting in terms of the postseason. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, Tony D, Ron Culver.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop, so don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. And if your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, please. Michael on Twitter, the NCAA can try to make me forget all they want about Reggie Bush, but in my mind, he's one of the five greatest college football players I've ever seen. I loved watching Reggie Bush play, and I wasn't a USC fan, so I had to kind of throw that caveat out there. I just was a fan of college football. I loved him. I thought he was fantastic. It was so fun.
I mean, it was like watching Barry Sanders.
Oh, every time he had the ball, man, he was doing something great. Every time.
I mean, the funny thing was is that you thought he was destined for the NFL Hall of Fame.
Oh, I know. True.
You know, remember how much backlash we gave Houston for going Mario Williams first?
Yeah, that's right. Remember that? That's right. Yep. He had like an 11-year career, but you know, he bounced around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those careers.
That was because maybe he was too small.
Yeah, it's possible.
I don't know. Kind of started the beginning of the devaluation of a running back.
Yeah, good point. But I am. I'm glad he can join some of his great teammates.
Now get the Heisman back.
I want him to get the Heisman back. I just can't. Like I said earlier, I would have. You'd have to pry that from my cold dead hands.
Then he gone the OJ route and go, I don't know where it is.
Yeah, I don't know. It's in one of my storage cabinets. I wouldn't give up my Heisman. I would like, no, I'm keeping this. You have to come get it.
It's in the safe with the other glove.
He voluntarily gave it back. Oh, God. Who pressured him to do that? Like, who said,
Mike Garrett?
You have to do that, right? He's like, what do I have to do this for? I'm playing in the NFL now. I don't give this back. What do you mean talking about giving this back? I'm done. That's your problem.
It almost feels like Reggie was a martyr back then.
Yeah.
For all of college football. Like,
exactly.
Okay, you know what? I'll fall on the sword so all you guys don't get in trouble.
The whole thing about it is, what drives me crazy is it's not like, you know, like in the Little League World Series where we find out a team had like a 17-year-old pitcher.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, that's an advantage, right? Like that's, if you're doctoring a birth certificate or something like that, so some kid who's way older than the other kids can play, you know, that's, we should be forfeiting games based on that, right? But when this is where the NCAA gets so silly, they make teams forfeit games because somebody got money or somebody got a house or somebody got a car that has nothing to do with the actual athletic performance. Now you can make the argument that it's a recruiting violation, etc. That guy ended up at the school because it was an unfair recruit. I get that. I understand that angle. Don't get me wrong. But it isn't like it was an unfair advantage for the team he was playing against. Right? So if USC wins a national title, all the teams they beat because Reggie Bush was scoring touchdowns, Reggie Bush was not an unfair player because of some sort of circumstance of his athletic ability. He wasn't using performance-enhancing drugs or something like that that would affect his ability to play. The only reason the NCAA wants you to forget it, at least at the time, forget about Reggie Bush's accomplishments, is because his family was living rent-free in San Diego in a house. That was it, right? And maybe it got some money. That had nothing to do with the fact that nobody could tackle him. That had nothing to do with the fact that he could take a kick return and go right to the house and score a touchdown. And all of the times he would touch the ball and score, wherever, you know, all the things that he was able to do.
And then let's be honest, was it a huge advantage for him? Because I remember there was a certain national championship game that it wasn't.
Right, that's true. That's right.
You know, and then you have to think back, like, okay, what kind of unfair advantages did Texas give Vince Young?
Right. Well, that's the other thing, right? It goes back to what we were saying earlier, like with when it comes to gambling and like marijuana, these two things that now society has sort of accepted, right? Now governments are taxing and making legal, and was you can go after person A, but person B is still doing it, and person C is still doing it, and person D is still doing it all the way down. That's the one thing about college football is it's not like you got Reggie Bush and that was it. You got Reggie Bush, but think about how many other players were probably getting under the table benefits that never got caught, that was never part of any investigation, that nobody ever blew the whistle on. And that's why when they go, yeah, you got to take down that banner and you got to take down these wins and 30 scholarships are now taken off the board. And oh, by the way, he can't be a part of the program for 10 years. It's a long time, man. It's a long time for a guy to be away from the family. Yeah. You know, it's a decade. It's forever.
I'm curious to see what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, how are they going to celebrate? Let's all hope that there's college football. So let's assume there's college football this fall. Is USC going to have like a big welcome back party for him?
Yeah, exactly. They're finalizing the deal to bring him back. Because USC probably
the deal. Just say, hey, man, you can.
Yeah, you can do stuff.
You can
now.
Be a Trojan again.
Yeah, I don't know what finalizing a deal is. I mean, why isn't it just like, hey, you want to be part of this alumni day? And he goes, yes. Okay, done.
Yeah, you're done. Good. There's the deal. We finalized it. I mean, is he angling for another house?
Yeah, I know. What are you doing? We got Keyshawn Johnson's coming back. Matt Leinart's coming back. We got Carson Palmer. How about you? You want to be part of this? But you know what also is that's a money stream for these guys. Like the post-college. Like think about all the dinners and speaking engagements you get to do. Like think about how much money locally is there for a former college superstar to speak at like a corporate outing. Right. Like if you're Alabama quarterback or Florida quarterback or whatever, you know, there's always some company that would like, yeah, can you come to our golf outing or can you come to speak at our corporate retreat or whatever? And here's 25 grand or 30, whatever it is. That's those are big money opportunities for those guys. And he couldn't be a part of any of those things. Like, you know, he couldn't, you know, hey, we'd love to have Reggie Bush at it. No, we can't. Oh, sorry. We can't. Yeah, Reg, you know, his mom got a house, and so can't speak at your corporate event. So can't relive the good old days. Just want to tell some stories about winning a title. Nah, I can't do it.
But it just seems to me like a business, like especially a local business, they wouldn't care.
Yeah,
they would just say true. Former USC running back.
Now they can't do that.
Bush. They couldn't do that.
Maybe
former NFL running back.
Maybe so. That they could do. But as far probably as being like part of like
anyways.
Probably part of being like associated with like having any sort of semblance with the school, he couldn't do that. That's silly. That's so dumb.
It's ridiculous.
It's dumb. It doesn't seem to serve any sort of purpose. Like it's not a deterrent, right? It's not anything. It's just like. They do this with the Fab Five, too. The Fab Five, they try to pretend like, you know, they took down the banners of things that they won. And they didn't win. I mean, look, the Fab Five never won an NCAA title. And I don't think they ever won a Big Ten title. 10-title tournament. I shouldn't say Big Ten title. Big Ten tournament. But they still say, now, you know, the Fab Five, that's, you know, we got to take down that anything they accomplished, too. It's like, what are you talking about? I mean, anybody who remembers them will remember them. They usually remember them fondly. I never hear anybody talk about that group and say, yeah, well, you know, they got this and that. It's the same thing with Reggie Bush. Whenever anybody talks about Reggie Bush at USC, I never hear them say, well, and then they got the house and his mom got some money. And no, it's like, this is one of the greatest college football players ever. Right. Well, so that's so dumb. Ah, these rules are so ridiculous. Yeah, and again, remember,
wipe them clean, and then bring back NCAA football.
Yeah, that's right. Bring back NCAA football. And all that. God, like
that's
I said,
care.
I think one of the worst jobs is being NCAA investigator.
You know how popular NCAA football is. Big Cat on Barstool has had a fake coach. He made a team, Coach Doug Duggerson or whatever it was, who coaches the Tennessee Volunteers. He plays games every single night, and people are tuned in. They're loving
it. Oh, yeah.
Them.
They love it.
And they're just watching him play college football.
I thought it was when I first played that, I was so blown away by just the stadiums and
the
everything that they've put into that game to make it have the same atmosphere of college football. It's a real video game achievement that was just taken away from us.
The best one out there.
It's one of the best ones. Absolutely.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up, we'll get to baseball's latest proposal from the player's side that includes an interesting twist into the postseason. We'll get to that coming up. But if you are interested in getting your golf game to the next level, looking for some new clubs, looking for some new irons, BenHoganGolf.com is a place you've got to go. Ben Hogan Golf Equipment Company was founded in 1953 by Ben Hogan, making quality golf equipment. The new company was incorporated in late 2017, and they still make tour-quality handcrafted premium products online at BenHoganGolf.com. And again, they bring those savings up to you because there's no huge advertising or tour endorsement budgets, and because of the retail markup, which is usually 40% or more, that's been eliminated. So you can get some serious golf clubs if you're the serious golfer at BenHoganGolf.com. The company has a solid product line of forged irons. That's really fantastic. Wedges and utility clubs, that's its core business, but it also has travel gear, headwear, and umbrellas, towels, etc. You get a trade-up program for older and used equipment, risk-free 14-day demo program, no charges for customization on your irons, same price for steel or graphite shafts, no charge for length, lie, grip size changes, free domestic shipping on all orders over $500, and interest-free financing for some people. BenHoganGolf.com is the website. Again, Ben Hogan made quality equipment for years and years and years, and they're doing it again. Visit their website today. Get yourself a set of premium forged irons. You will love it. BenHoganGolf.com. All right, so Major League Baseball players go, hey, how about 89 games? But of course, 100% of our prorated salary. And the owners are going to probably say no to that, and we're going to go back and forth. But at least the players did say, well, we do have an idea for the playoffs. How about we add a couple of more teams? They actually came up with 16 teams for the postseason. 16. They're going to say, if you get our proposal, you can do it this year and next year. You could add another level of postseason games, which obviously benefits the players because there's more revenue attached to that. And there's also for the owners, which allows a lot more revenue for that down the road when you add more playoff games as to what the owners are really looking forward to. The problem is in the scheduling. Okay, look, this proposal is going to get ripped apart by the owners because it's going to be 100% of the salary, which the owners definitely don't want to do. But the postseason idea is going to get shot down too, because again, we're talking about where it fits on the calendar. The owners are really worried about a second wave of the coronavirus. They really are. And they really don't want the postseason to go deep. We've discussed this the last couple of days. And unfortunately, this latest proposal has the postseason going into November, which is what the owners aren't going to want to do. Even though the players are saying, look, there's additional revenue here. This story changes every single day in terms of what's out there. Eventually, Rob Manfred can institute a shortened season without the players' approval on it. The problem is that they want to get some sort of, you know, agreement onto any modification. But there is sort of this nuclear option, if you will, that Rob Manfred can have a shortened season. That's it. Players will play. Players get the money. Off we go. And that's it. And there is no sort of compromise to make it larger. No compromise to allow for more revenue in whatever capacity that may be. None of that. And both sides, I don't think, really want the Rob Manfred sprint to the finish, as we talked to Jared Diamond yesterday from the Wall Street Journal, where they play a very short amount of games. I think it's less than 50, right? And just quickly get to a postseason. Nobody really wants to do that. The players won't be getting a lot of money out of that, because even whatever prorated rate they're getting is just within a 50-game limit. And, you know, it just doesn't feel the same. You know, we talked about the Washington Nationals, started off slow, hot, but baseball lends itself to a long season. That's what it is. It's not built to do a, you know, a quick sort of 40-game schedule, 40-50-game schedule. It does have to grow over time, and it has to come about after a good season. It doesn't have to be 162, but it certainly can't do it within 50.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
Where are the players pulling these numbers from?
In terms of,
like, 114, 89.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. There's not even like a sort of like, oh, 75 or 70 or 65 or 100. It's like,
I mean, please someone explain, am I missing something?
It's possible that it comes from like, all right, where's the calendar? You want it to end here? Well, if we play doubleheaders here, we got what? Add it up, Joe. 87. All right, 87 it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Let's see. You know, I'm going to do some math real quick. Maybe it's 89 divided by 3.
Yeah, maybe that's so.
Is that equal anything?
20?
Nope, it doesn't. No, that doesn't work. I mean, I was trying to think, okay, maybe you play each team twice, three times. These numbers are just bizarre.
Yeah, by the way, once you get a proposal, then you do have to sit with the schedule makers and go, okay, does our current blueprint work for that? Like what we have
exactly,
now, like
right?
Do we have to play around with that more? And how do we do that? Right? So the schedule makers are like, all right, so they want 114 scale. Okay. Now they want 89. Oh, that's fine. We'll just add some. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about me in the corner here. I'm just hanging out, trying to figure this out, make it work for everybody.
I mean, why not 86?
Yeah, right?
You know, that was a good year. You think the Mets are going like that? Let's do 86 games. Yes,
why not? Let's do that. Sure. How about 97.5? Can we do that?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. Just throw that one six-inning, seven-inning game on there just for S's and G's.
These two sides are nuts. They're absolutely nuts.
Nothing is going to get accomplished when we just start throwing out arbitrary numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, the owners to me seem like they have a beat on, okay, this is how many games are left. You know, this is the season that we could have.
Right, right.
This
is
what
we could
do. They kind of understand the logistics of everything, and players come back like, 52? How about 89?
That's nuts. Bill DeWitt, who is the owner and chairman of the St. Louis Cardinals, he appeared on a local St. Louis radio show, was talking about how, you know, hey, when you really look at it, it's not very major. We're not very profitable.
Of course
right?
not.
Of course not. And they all say this. Every time you get a labor dispute, this is the first thing that people come. They go, no, you know, we're not making as much money as you think we're making. Like, really? Because your franchise is worth like $2.5 billion.
It
keeps going up every year.
I only wish that interview had him sitting on a pile of cash for a cushion.
I know, right?
It's not That's profitable.
Right. No, he ain't making any money. In fact,
you know what I pick? Any owner of a professional league. I don't know if you remember the movie Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah.
Strikes Back.
Right.
There's a scene in there where they're doing a reboot of Scream, and Shannon Doherty turns to the director, who I think it was I can't remember who directed. They were doing the remake of Good Will Hunting. It's like Good Will Hunting 2.
Right.
And so Matt Damon and Ben Affleck turned to Gus Van Sant, who's to get some direction, and all he's doing is sitting there in his chair just counting cash.
Yeah, right.
And
exactly.
And he just keeps going, I'm busy, Ben. So they figure it out themselves. That's what I figured these owners are doing. Like right now, players are coming back at him going, hey, about this? And they're like, oh, no, it's not profitable. Just while they're thumbing through, you know, stacks of $100 bills.
See, I always looked at it as, you know, there was a period of time where owning a sports franchise in one of the major sports was probably one of those things that rich people did where it didn't make a ton of money, but it didn't lose a ton of money either.
Status.
You know, it was just like, hey, I own the local hockey team.
Right.
Right. Or I own the local NBA team. Right. Or whatever. And it's like, I may own all these businesses that you probably frequent, but I don't get any notoriety for that. But boy, oh boy, I own the local hockey team or the NBA team or, you know, baseball team. And all of a sudden that allows me to be in the news. That allows me to be in the press. That allows me to get a lot of attention.
Yep.
I can show off with all my other rich friends. You want to sit in the box seats of my NHL team? And I'm sure it was probably one of those things where it was like, yeah, you know, like I said, it doesn't make a ton of money for me, but you know what? It doesn't hurt me either, and this is pretty cool. But now forget it. I mean, forget it. You own one of these things? Come on. I mean, every year I feel like the Forbes list grows and grows. These franchises are billion-dollar franchises.
Yeah.
And then you look in the history books and you find out like 20 years ago they bought it. The franchise was bought for $100 million, and it's now worth $2.5 billion. I mean, come on. This idea, like, you're never going to convince, even if it was true, right? Because you're not going to expose your finances, right? Even if it was true, it's one of the most unbelievable truths that's out there. No one would buy that. If you're an owner of a major league baseball team and you say, "Nah, we don't make any money. We might even lose money." Nobody believes it. Nobody believes it. Even if it's true, nobody believes it. So it's not even worth going to the public and crying that, you know, you don't have the kind of income or kind of money that you think. Nobody believes it because, again, you've got all of these publications that are talking about how wealthy you are.
I know that this is a rare occasion, but do you know how much Donald Sterling had bought the Clippers for?
I want to say, isn't it like $30 million?
12.5
Oh, even lower than what I thought. Yeah.
$12.5 million, and he sold it. I mean, he was forced to sell it.
Forced to sell it.
But for $2 billion.
For $2 billion, and it was like $2 billion in cash.
Yeah. It was like Steve Ballmer was just like, "Oh, here you go. Here's a check.
I got it.
You don't have to wait till Friday to cash it."
No, when they told Steve Ballmer that, he was like, "I can do that." They said, "It's got to be $2 billion in cash." He's like, "I can do that."
Yeah, I can do it.
Yeah. A lot of these guys can. Like, a lot of these billionaires can't. Like, they're not that liquid.
Yeah.
So, like, they want to get involved in this, and they go, "Oh, well, I got, like, I got wealth in this area, but I don't have, like, I can't go just deposit $2 billion into your account. I can't have my bank wire that kind of money." Yeah, I mean, but Ballmer was like, "Yeah, I can do that."
That is such a return on investment.
I know. That's right.
And
I
that's
mean, come
and
on.
That's all of them. I mean, you know, that's every professional franchise out there.
All of them are going up in value. All of them go up in value. You know, I mean, the stories of these NFL. Think about being a family that got into the ground floor of the NFL or the AFL, better, even because ground floor of the NFL is 100 years ago. But they have like the AFL, like the Hunts or whatever, like, and just your family, you know, in the early days, you're struggling to keep it afloat, you know, keep it around, keep it going. And now look at what you have today. You're not even known for any other thing that you may be involved in. You own that. And that's maybe the only thing you do. Maybe you get rid of all the other family businesses, and the only thing you worry about is owning this NFL team or this Major League Baseball team or whatever it is. It's incredible. Whereas other people were known for other owners may have been known for other things. You reach a point where people don't even care how you made your money, right? I mean, people don't even care how you do it. Your franchise keeps going up in value. It's one of, and also too, you're part of such an elite club that it's unbelievable. It's one of the most elite country clubs a rich person could ever be involved in, right? I mean, Major League Baseball, one of 30 owners in the world own a professional baseball team in Major League Baseball, and that's it. That's it. You know, nobody else. You can't have 50 people here. You can't have 100 people here. It's only you and 29 other families or people that own the team. And some teams are owned by like multiple ownership groups or whatever, but you're still part of a very elite club. So don't go crying to me that you don't have any cash. I don't want to hear it. I have no interest in hearing you whine about that. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue along on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Peter Gammons just tweeted this. Baseball is at the risk of losing lifers like me. I hope MLB understands Chad's words, and he's pointing to a Boston Globe article. If 2020 is erased, every owner should face a town hall with his fans. Those for erasing the season should answer why denying Chad Mike Trout is good, Anaheim strong. Peter Gammons is an absolute baseball lifer. Peter Gammons is one of the biggest baseball fans in media history.
Yeah.
If baseball is ready to lose Peter Gammons, they really need to stop and pause for a quick second. If Peter Gammons is going away, he had one of the best, you know, this is like taking me way back. But remember the guy that would write, and almost every major city had this, the guy that would write the baseball column. It was always on Sundays.
Yeah.
It was just the thing where it was all the teams and all the news about the teams and whatever was going on. And Gammons wrote one of the best ones in the nation in that, where you would just have all this like notebook full of notes. And it was the best.
What that says, Peter Gammons is going to up and quit.
That's right.
Because, I mean, that is right. What else can he do?
God.
He can't write anything else.
No.
Right? He can't all of a sudden like, well, let me try this football thing.
Doing baseball forever. Everybody check on Tim Kurkjian, because he's another one of those baseball fanatics.
Yeah.
that covers the sport just loves it. Robert on Twitter, MLB had bad luck during spring training. The bottom fell out. Other sports had two-thirds of the season to complete. NFL offseason, toughest union in the country. That's true. Jared Diamond brought that up yesterday. You know, baseball does have a problem. It wasn't trying to finish what it started. It really never got started, so now it's how you get started. Right, it's the only sport that had to deal with that. The NFL was the NFL is waiting to see what the fall is going to look like. Basketball and hockey were like, let's just wrap this up in some capacity.
Yeah,
baseball is like, oh, you want us to get back to the drawing board? Now we're going to put this together. Here's the union.
But the thing that I guess is most annoying is we're all sitting back going, guys, you had like 2 months to figure this out, 3 months to figure this out, where you know it wasn't even a thought that you could step onto the field, and now you're starting to negotiate.
It's not like people were busy traveling the world. We were all quarantined, for crying out loud. Just get on Zoom and don't get off of it until you got a deal.
You couldn't have, like, let's have, like, you know, 4 or 5 contingency plans.
Right.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
The NFL put together a draft with, like, the most incredible technological feat I've ever seen in my life. And we couldn't get player reps and union guys and owner reps and owner guys all in one big gigantic call. For 8 hours a day for 2 straight weeks or something like that? Like, we couldn't do that? It's like we're sending it by passenger pigeon to every single proposal. We'll get back to you in a fortnight. Baseball is never going to happen.